Welcome to the program, Rebecca. And Rebecca has a great role at the Sydney Conservatory of Music with the Open Academy. And are you not hearing yourself? Right. Well, let's see if we can make that change. I think maybe we had a little problem with the mics last week too, so maybe I'll just flick this over onto the... let's see. Try that one. No, that one's not working either. Okay, we'll try a different one. Anyway, we know a little bit about the Open Academy because we've been advertising a little bit, and it's quite an interesting program. There's a whole lot of new things coming up, right, for the Open Academy. Tell us a bit about it.
Yes, hello. Hi. I can't hear you.
Oh, you don't know. Okay, no worries. Go ahead.
The Open Academy has been running for about 50 years now, and there are an incredible array of courses that are available. We have my courses in particular are singing courses for Vocal Horizons 1, Vocal Horizons 2, and Vocal Horizons 3. And they all include ensemble singing. Everybody is ranging from the age of 16 up to about 75 and everything in between. A community course. Many people don't really know about the Open Academy courses. They don't seem to be, a lot of people when they think about the conservatorium think that they're there for a degree or a diploma. So the part-time courses are a fantastic way of people dabbling into different courses and, definitely expanding their, interest in the instrument or singing itself. The courses are 8 weeks long as well. I've been there now 18 years and teaching the singing component of it. There are many other courses as well. There's other courses called the Choir Singing Essentials. That's a new course that I've just introduced as well. Ensemble singing, all about how to read a musical score. How to stand when you're singing, how to watch the conductor at the same time, all about the diaphragmatic breathing, whether or not you can read a score of music, what voice type are you, and that all gets sort of checked out. People have pitch intonation problems. That's a toughie. Yeah, that's more of a one-on-one experiment, but if they stand next to somebody who's singing in tune, then they end up being, part of the group and picking up on it. So we also have other components for classical song for people who just want to learn all about classical singing and all the techniques. Vocal Fundamentals 1 and 2 also are really there for people who are shower singers and not sure what a crotchet is, that kind of thing. So the Vocal Fundamentals is a really good beginning part of the singing, and then they come onto my courses so they just have a little bit more experience. We also have Contemporary Singer as well for people who don't want to be singing classically or just sort of midstream songs. And we also have a soul ensemble as well. They're always needing horn players, by the way, so I just want to put that out there, and for singers as well. Impro Basics, that's another course as well for jazz. Also, they're looking for horn and trumpet saxophone players as well. A lot of people think it's just for guitar or for piano, but it's also for the horns. And we've got jazz piano basics with Renata and music composition and also electronic sound as well. So loads of courses to choose from.
Yes, and I imagine, listeners out there going, I always wanted to do something. There's something there for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Guitar playing as well, and there's always some kind of instrument somebody wants to dabble in and just doesn't know how to start. So a lot of the teachers at the conservatorium have got, degrees in music, obviously, or PhDs, and a lot of experience as well. So you can't go wrong. It's just getting the word out there that it's a course usually taken the evenings as well. So full-time workers are welcome.
Mm. And I mean, Matt and I can both attest, we both studied at the cons, so we can both attest to the fact that it's a great place to go and study music. It's such a legendary place. But it also, I mean, you've gone on, Matt, to be a teacher there. But my experience, I did 2 years when it was an associate diploma course, the jazz course, and it was just amazing to be around like-minded people.
Absolutely.
And it inspires you the whole time. So it's a really special thing to be
hearing
able to
the instruments warm up.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just get like little lunchtime concerts or in the corridor, people are singing, a trio. You know, it was a great place to study when I was studying opera there as well. You know, the place would be bulging of instruments and there would just be so much hubbub going on. It's sort of like a weak formula of fame.
You'd have to fight for a practice room too,
yeah,
I remember
exactly.
that. You and I might have been in a draw at some
maybe.
Stage.
One of the great things about it is, as you just alluded to, is you might have an interest in music, but when you get in a room with other people who love music, even if they're not musicians, you know, it's people just thinking and talking about music is inspiring, isn't it? People sharing what music they're interested in and all those things. And then when it's time to sit down and then make music with those same people, something kind of magical happens that no one really understands how it works, but an ensemble starts creating sound that people on their own can't do. And when you're in the middle of that, it's you're communing with your other humans in such a profound way. And if people haven't, people out there who love music and maybe spend a bit of time on their own playing, but that thrill of getting with other people, if you haven't done it, is really immense. So I really recommend it. If you're dabbling in it and you're interested, it will open up a whole new world to you if you come and study at a
place
like this.
And it's also been proven that it changes the course of the brain activity as well, endorphins. And I think the serotonin levels as well. And I'm also a music therapist. So,
I see.
Yeah, so I've worked in sort of that field of distraction, if you like, how music could make a really big difference in people's lives from just what they're going through or pain management. And, of course, I don't use the word therapy when I'm teaching at the con, but I'm sort of using a bit of voodoo behind the scenes to sort of, you know, and also an acceptance of making mistakes, that it's okay to make a mistake and how to accept it and take it on. I think it's a really important part of music because it's so in the moment as well.
Now, you've had a background as a performer yourself. Tell us a bit about your history as a singer.
Okay. Well, I studied at the Conservatorium in 1989 and then I graduated at the Conservatorium in Opera. And then I thought, I'll try my big luck in a big city. And luckily I got a British passport. So I was, in those days, and you didn't have to worry about, you know,
Brexit and all that stuff.
Correct. Yeah. Correct, yeah. So I moved to London and I thought I'd try my, you know, luck in a big city. And I was a very, very small fish. And because here, you know, I got some fantastic roles and got some great opportunities. And then when I was over there, it's almost like I had to start all over again. I was 25. Mm. I'd never left home before and never been on an aeroplane. So I decided to do it all on the same day.
Yeah.
I ended up living in London for 13 years and I was lucky enough to become a soloist and sing around Britain and Europe. Which was very exciting. Some of it was, you know, really hard work. You still came across the same things, rejection, no job for months on end, and then suddenly busy all year, taking you to different places. Traveling around Europe was very, very exciting. And I got to meet some wonderful singers. The Russian singers are the ones that I feared. very talented and beautiful voices. So I got a lot of experience in Europe. And I guess the wonderful thing about it was I learned a lot about resilience as well. And especially if you're not feeling very well and you still have to get up on stage and still deliver that kind of thing. I even performed after a car accident one night.
Right.
Took the neck brace off and then went on stage and sang the role and put the neck brace back on and went home.
Wow.
You know, things like that. It just teaches you to carry on, especially if you don't have an understudy. And what really interested me was the psychology behind singing, why we get up and do it when some people were still very nervous and feeling very sick, you know, behind the scenes. That really fascinated me. Like, why do we do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the fear of forgetting your words.
Yes.
And that really interested me. So opera, of course, is one of those things where not only do you need to know the language, but you've got to to be able to act and move at the same time as well, you know, and pretend kissing as well, but you're not really. You're just watching the conductor's screen behind the curtain, you know. So all these things have a lot of rhythm involved as well. You've got to have a good sense of rhythm to know when to do things and when to not, to make it work. But in the end, I felt like I had been through enough auditioning, which is in a position of being judged and criticised. And if you're a teacher at the time, when I was, I didn't even think about teaching when I was in England. It's you're between jobs, darling, you know. So I wasn't very revered, you know. So I got around by doing other things like, you know, waitressing, and I did a few concerts and one-offs as well. They call them one-night stands and oratorio work. But after I had my second child, I thought it's time to go back to Australia. And I came back and auditioned for Opera Australia, but my heart wasn't in it. So I thought I need to change direction. And so after, you know, 13, 14 years over there, it was, yeah, time to be a mum, just to sort of settle down. And then I got offered the job teaching at the conservatorium. The rest is history.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's great. If you're a singer, you know, you can come and do these courses at the Con and tap into a lot of that wealth of that experience that you must have. I mean, you can distill that into a few key sentences at the right time, can't you? When someone comes in with a particular problem, you've probably been there and had the same problem.
Correct.
And understand how to get
through
it.
There's nothing like imparting it. And the biggest thing for me is to bring humour into it too.
Yeah.
You've got to have a laugh. It's just because it is a ridiculous art form.
Yeah, yeah.
You take it so seriously, you know, and you're still dying on stage after 2 hours, and but you still sound good, you know. So the storylines are ridiculous. But, yes, the conservatorium definitely is a place for people to come and learn. And it's not – my courses for the Vocal Horizons especially, it's not about becoming an opera singer. It's just learning the fundamentals on how to breathe and how to feel confident about the sound that you're making, because everyone's incredibly unique. And there's a lot of comparison that goes on. I think it kind of destroys people's confidence, especially the people that come in and say, I've been told that I can't sing.
Well, that's terrible, isn't it? You hear so many stories of that. Someone at the age of 8, they're picking the choir and they say, well, you're not in it, or whatever. You know, and it's just what happened on a particular one day when you're 8 years old, as if that should determine your future.
It stays with you, yeah. Absolutely. So and I had a chap in particular who came in and said that he'd been told he can't sing in tune, but in fact he could, and his daughter and his wife couldn't. So all along he thought he was the one.
There you go.
Yeah, so it's for everybody, and the biggest bit of feedback that I get from people is how much their confidence has changed, and now they want to join a choir or have the confidence to pick up a score of music and interpret it.
Of course, there's always community choirs out there looking for people. I mean, especially men. There's lots of Australians. Yeah. Men don't tend to want to sing as much. Yeah. And they're always saying, oh, you sing? Oh, do you want to come and join our choirs? You know, yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of – there are positions out there.
Absolutely, and that's why you hear about women being tenors, you know, because they don't have enough men.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and even though, you know, you could be a tenor, there's not much melody line for a woman to sing, so they end up singing just in their speaking voice, you know. So, yeah, there are loads of choirs around. And I know that you don't have to audition for some. I realise that, and they're the ones that a lot of people come to the Con for, just to have the confidence to sing in harmony, to keep to their own tune, which is that one of the harder things. Especially if you're an alto, you're always wedged in the middle.
Yeah.
And the bass line usually end up being kind of like a drone, you know, keeping the sound going. But it's so wonderful to see people's faces when they've realised they've kept to their own part and they're actually singing and making music.
And that's such a joy, isn't it, when you're in a choir and you're singing in harmony, when it's one of the such a primal piece of enjoyment.
You know? Amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. One thing I reckon that gets a bit overlooked in music education is the word empathy. I think musicians have more empathy for others after they play music. I think it's a really, you know, I noticed that with teaching, you know, younger kids who might have anger issues or anything like that, and then instantly become more empathetic. And it's quite it's quite an interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, as a therapist, you would have seen a lot of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing I put myself through was AMEB exams on piano because that's my second instrument. So that was – I've never done a piano exam. It's just been singing. And I wanted it just to feel what it was like to feel really nervous again and on the spot.
Yeah.
And I know this sounds a bit like torturous, but, yeah, so I did. I went and did an AMEB, and I've done a couple now. And, yeah, they're scary. I mean, my leg suddenly shakes. I didn't know where that came from.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's so weird. Mm. And suddenly you have a blank in the middle of it, or you get super confident and go, ooh, I got that page right. Oh, my God, what's coming up
next?
That's
right.
You know, so it really does play with your mind. And as you get older, that changes as well. So your idea of nerves changes.
I remember being a kid going into an Stedford and going up on stage and not knowing which one was middle C. You know, like just suddenly, is it that one or this one?
Just
you know?
This big thing in front of me. As
yeah.
a kid.
It's just the nerves. The nerves do these strange things to your brain that you've never thought of in your life, and suddenly you're doubting things. You know, it's a strange thing, isn't it?
Mm.
Absolutely. And that's a big question I get. What do I do about my nerves, you know, when they're standing up in front of the class?
Mm.
Well, the biggest thing I can really suggest with the nerves, because some of us feel it in different ways, is to embrace them.
Mm.
Because if you try and keep trying to get rid of the nerves, it actually gets worse.
Mm.
And so it's. I always say to people, good, you're alive, you know, because you've got to be feeling nerves. Mm. I mean, in my opera career, there wasn't one day I went on stage that I didn't feel nervous.
Mm.
You know, but they were good nerves. They weren't like throwing up nerves.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
And they give you a little bit of extra adrenaline and a bit of extra stuff to kind of keep going, don't they?
Yeah, and it worried me when I was on stage and I had apathy.
Mm.
I was like, oh, my God, what's wrong with me?
Mm.
You know, that was kind of a weird thing because you're so distracted or tired or, you know, or sick of doing the same role or... but yeah, it's a wonderful thing to be able to impart the knowledge, and I can't believe how much I love teaching.
Mm. How great. If you've just joined us, listeners, it's Matt McMahon over here, Dan Barnett over there. This is Thursday Afternoon Blow, and we're talking to Rebecca Scott about singing and particularly about the conservatorium. Now, what's it called? Is it Open Academy still?
Open Academy?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So courses basically designed for people who've got an interest in music, don't necessarily want to pursue it at a tertiary level, but even at an introductory level, and just get welcomed into the world of music. And if you're a bit more advanced, you can join some of these other ensembles. And as you mentioned earlier, it's not just vocals. Of course, there's other instruments. There's courses for improvisers and jazz musicians. So it's a real incredible fund of great musical engagement for the community. So if you're half interested, go onto the Conservatorium website.
You can go to openacademy.sydney.edu.au, and that's where you'll find all the information about the Conservatorium Open Academy. And there's a lot of stuff.
There are so many, and another thing that is fantastic is it has been online, especially over COVID times.
Mm.
But the wonderful thing about the jazz piano courses and so forth is that you come in and you've got your own keyboard and your headphones.
Yep.
And, you know, you get helped along. The soul ensemble, like I said, I think that's auditioned.
Yep.
But, you know, when you hear the instruments come together and they're you know, piping out of the cafe there, you just can't help but, you know, tap along and be part of it. And like you said, you don't have to worry about tertiary level. It's just 8 weeks.
Mm.
And then usually people come back, you know, and then it becomes a word of mouth. Yeah, it's a terrific opportunity. And also you're at the con, hello, like beautiful gardens, you know, great surroundings, and the building is just all about music.
It's changed a lot since we were there.
Yes, absolutely. The bedrock
down
in the car park now,
exactly.
Yeah. Used to be the stables, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But it was always great to, you know, if you couldn't find a practice room, you'd just go and sit in the park and play there or, you know, but...
If you're short of some lunch money, put your head out and play some tunes, right?
You could do both now. That's kind of good. Yeah. Well, Rebecca, thanks very much for joining us. It's great to meet you. And,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, good luck with everything. I mean, you'll hear there's, you know, we do some ads here. So if you missed the address, actually, I'll give you the address again. It's openacademy.sydney.edu.au. And you can find out about all the wonderful courses at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music, the Open Academy courses. Well, just all the courses generally. There's so much great stuff going on at the con, but yeah, just check it out there. Fantastic. And hopefully we'll see you soon.
Fantastic. Thank you.
This year, the Sydney Conservatorium's Open Academy is celebrating 50 years of music education for adults, and we want to find the music in you. Our short courses cater for all levels and styles. You can take group classes in all types of singing styles, jazz guitar and jazz improv, songwriting, piano for beginners, or composing. You could also audition for one of our jazz or soul ensembles. Or if you want to learn the basics of music theory, we have online classes for you, as well as our online electronic music production course and lyric writing courses. All our classes are small group classes. Whether you're a beginner or you have some experience, the Conservatorium Open Academy has you covered. Our autumn term starts on Monday, the 6th of May. Classes run for 2 hours each week over 8 weeks, and our tutors are some of the best in Sydney. So hop onto the website openacademy.sydney.edu.au and explore what's on. Early bird discounts available until the 8th of April. Enroll at openacademy.sydney.edu.au today and find the music in you. Eastside Radio sponsor.